we are going to study tonight. We will not finish tonight the part of the creed that says the God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. But we will begin this study. And what a privilege is ours to think of the truth of creation. We are so blessed in America, even though it is ignored by so many people in our country. We are thankful for the ministry of the Creation Museum, as well as the Ark. And, you know, we have such a blessing here in Decatur, Alabama, having the Cooks Museum. If you have not been there, I encourage you to go and see that, because the testimony of God's wonderful creation is so awesome in that place. And I thank God for it. So we are going to turn in the scriptures tonight to the very beginning, to Genesis chapter 1. We'll look a little here in Genesis 1, beginning at verse 1. And let us hear the truth of the holy word of God. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day. And the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Genesis chapters 1 and 2 give us the full account, as God has chosen to give us, of the majestic creation. The message of these two chapters, here we see the creation of the sea, the sky, the sun, the moon, the stars. And we see in these chapters also the birds and the fish, and observe the landscape as it's described. The vegetation, the animals, the insects, all of the big things and all of the little things that God made. And we marvel at the wonderful complexity even of humanity, with all of the powers and skills that God has given to man, and the deep feelings of fascination and attraction and even affection that men and women have for each other. Amazing, isn't it? Well, here we meet the great Creator. We meet the one who is behind it all. We have enjoyed the works of art as we read through Genesis 1 and 2, but it is for the purpose of meeting the artist himself. We hear all of the sounds in creation whenever you can get in a place where you can't hear the sounds of machinery or even vehicles. I talked about that privilege that I had when I was putting up signs in Bankhead Forest, but it was amazing, the quiet and then the sounds of nature. It's so beautiful to hear that natural music But here, it is all designed that we meet the composer of it all himself, the Lord God. The creation speaks loudly of the Creator. And although the creed speaks of God the Father creating all the works, it is God Almighty, the whole Trinitarian work of God. Not only God the Father, but we are told in Genesis 1 and verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. The word for God here in this first verse is Elohim. And anytime you hear that im ending in the Hebrew, it is a plural. And it is Elohim, God. And we know that in the book of Acts, chapter 17 and verse 24, we are told that God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. It is this great God. We read of him in chapter 2 and verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. It's so interesting that there's reference made here to God the Father Almighty, even in these verses. But also the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2 says, there hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, that is by the Son. And in John chapter 1, verse 2, I read it this morning at the beginning of the service, the same was in the beginning with God, that is the Word. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Speaking of the Son. And if you turn over to Colossians chapter 1, very interesting there. Colossians chapter 1. Let's look over there for just a moment. Colossians 1. And the context is so very clear that it's speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, verse 14, let's go there. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church. You understand that none other than our Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Holy Trinity, is being spoken of as the Creator as well as God the Father Almighty. But now we go back to the morning message, and we know that the Spirit of God is the Creator as well as God the Father Almighty and his Son. Now, that scripture that we referred to this morning in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. It's so amazing there. that we read of our Savior in the Spirit. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, that is referring to the Holy Spirit. But let's understand that not only that passage, but also there are other scriptures that speak so clearly about the Spirit of God being the Creator as well as the Father and Son. Let's turn over to the book of Job. There are many scriptures referring to the Spirit doing the work of creation as well as the Father and Son. Job chapter 26, the first one in verse 13, right at the beginning of that verse. Job 26, verse 13. By his Spirit he hath garnished the heavens. Then let's turn over to chapter 33 of Job. Job 33 and verse 4. And we must remember that this book is the oldest book in the Bible, older than the book of Genesis even. Job 33 and verse 4. The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. There are the two of those terms that are used for the original Hebrew and Greek word, the definitions of that Greek word and the Hebrew word, ruach and pneuma in the Greek, that he is the Spirit, the breath of God, the very wind of God. Now, God created simply by speaking the word. He made all things of nothing to begin with. And then we have in that second verse of Genesis chapter 1, you see the raw material that had been created, and the earth was without form and void. And here is where so many make their mistakes in regard to trying to make a long period of time between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and then between verse 1 and 2. They try to translate the verb, the earth became without form and void. No, it was that way at the creation. God made the material. And then you see him in the rest of the account of creation taking the material and making out of the material, whether it's using the water to call forth the marine animals as well as the birds of the air. He used that material and said, let the waters bring forth. And they did. And then he caused the earth to bring forth the plants. And then created the land animals and created man, and man from the dust of the earth. It's so interesting here that we have in the first verse not only that plural of God, but the word, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. The Hebrew word for heaven is hashamayim. There is that im ending again. So it's the plural. The heavens created. And so we have the order that God gives. He created the heavens, plural, and then the earth. And we read of the heaven, the earth, and the sea, and we'll get to that. But first, he created the heavens before he ever created the earth. And in the heavens, we have, the scripture says, the three heavens. If you turn over to the second letter to the Corinthians in chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you will see the apostle says in verse 1, it is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Okay? Paul does not want to do a lot of bragging about himself, but there were times that he had to tell who he was to the people because false teachers had been lying about him. He says in verse 2, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth, such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Now that is most interesting. The word there, not lawful, it's not possible to put what he heard in the third heaven, also identified as paradise. What he heard was so wonderful it could not be put into human language, is what he's saying. Now, what is Paul talking about? He knew a man, whether in the body or out of the body. Do you remember in the city of Lystra when they had been preaching the gospel and they had been doing the Lord's work and he was dragged out of the city and stoned and left for dead? Maybe this was the moment when he was caught up. And I'm not going to put any confidence in all these other people that have, you know, say they were, you know, they may have had some wonderful experience. Well, Paul, speaking here of a man that had a wonderful experience of being caught up into the third heaven. So if he was caught up into the third heaven, which is identified as the paradise of God, there have to be two other heavens. Now, you may have heard of Philip Keller. Philip Keller was a tremendous writer. He may still be living. I'm not sure if he is. He's very old. He wrote A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm, A Layman Looks at the Lord's Prayer. He wrote so many really good books. We have a bunch of them in the church library. But Philip Keller wrote regarding the Lord's Prayer, and he explained it so thoroughly, theologically, the three heavens. And you are living in the midst of the first heaven, the atmospheric heaven, right here touching the earth, all the way up to where the atmosphere ceases. When you go to the top of Mount Kilimanjaro, the air gets very thin. Or any of those really high mountains, you're getting up there where it's harder to breathe and get the necessary oxygen. And the farther up you go, you get to a point where there's no more atmosphere and you will not be able to live. And then begins the second heaven that goes all the way up to the third heaven, and these astrophysicists and astroscientists talk about the black hole. They can't see any farther. They can see through the stellar heaven. You have the atmospheric heaven right here and going up to the stellar heaven where the other planets, the moon, the stars are in that glorious place. And they see. And then beyond, they can't see. And there is the third heaven, which the apostle calls paradise. It is the divine heaven where sits the Lord Jesus Christ in the highest heaven. So God first created the heavens. And then after that, he created the earth. I don't know how soon after, but we know that he made the angels previously. When he made the heavens, he made the heavenly creatures. And those creatures have access to these two lower heavens. The angel of the Lord comes down and keeps and cares for the children of God. We know that. But also the demonic hordes, they once had access to the divine heaven. You know from the oldest book in the Bible, the book of Job, that even Satan himself walked in among the angels of God, and the Lord knew where he'd been, but he asked him, Satan to confess where he'd been. He'd been walking up and down in the earth where he likes to try to cause trouble, which he did in the Garden of Eden very soon. Okay? But we know that there was a vast number of angels that were created, most likely when he created the heavens. He created all those beings that inhabit the heavens. Okay, so you have different categories of angels, but especially two divisions. You have the elect angels spoken of in 1 Timothy chapter 5 in verse 21. He is exhorted, the apostle, in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 21. He says to Timothy, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things. We'll stop right there. The charge that he has is before God, and it is God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels. Okay, you have an innumerable company of elect angels. If you go over to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22, you will see it. And I love this portion because we have so much given to us here regarding what's there in the third heaven. He says here in verse 22, rather than our coming to the smoking, burning Mount Sinai, we come, verse 22, you're coming to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God. I like that. To the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect. Now, not just men, also women. We should say the spirits of justified men perfected. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, he's there, seated on the throne. And what else is there? To the blood of sprinkling. That blood did not decay and go into the ground in Palestine and go into nothingness. That blood is there, but it's also speaking blood, speaking better things than that blood of Abel spoke. But an innumerable company of angels, that's a lot of angels there in heaven. Now, if you go over to Revelation, well, we know that they're fallen angels. Jude verse 6, even before we get to Revelation, Jude verse 6 makes it very clear that there were angels which kept not their first estate. That was their position in submission to the one who had made them. They left that estate of obedience, and thus they left their own habitation. And he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. They dwell in darkness because they are angels of darkness. They can, at times, as Satan does, transform himself into an angel of light in order to deceive. But these angels dwell in the realm of darkness. The Banner of Truth publishers publish a lot of books called the Puritan paperbacks, so that you can read the Puritans without the great expense of those huge tomes, those big volumes, hardback, that are so expensive. But you can buy the Puritan paperbacks. We have lots of these Puritan paperbacks over here in the church library. One of them is by a Reformed minister in Great Britain, I.D. E. Thomas. They like extra names there. You know, some of them have three or four names, you know. So I.D. E. Thomas wrote a one on the Puritan quotations, which is very good. But he wrote another one about the UFOs. And it is his conviction that many of those UFOs are simply demonic manifestations in the stellar and atmospheric heavens. Up even above the atmosphere and the stellar heavens, as well as in the atmospheric heavens, because those angelic beings have been cast out of the divine heaven. No longer the accuser of the brethren that once accused before the throne of God, like Satan did in the book of Job. He does not go there and accuse us before God, but he accuses us day and night when we sin. And what did he say to Jesus? The temptations that he gave Jesus are the same temptations that he uses, those same wiles he uses on God's children. He said to Jesus, if thou be the Son of God. Jesus knew he was God, the Son, manifest in human flesh. But the devil tries to sow doubt. And so he uses the same kind of tactic with us. If you were really a son or child of God, you wouldn't have done that way that you just did. See there, you're lost. You're hopeless. You're condemned. Have you ever heard the accuser of the brethren? We sing about it. in number 410. What though the accuser roar of ills that I have done, I know them well, and thousands more. Jehovah findeth none. So let's remember that the devil is still at his old tricks. All right, let's turn over to the book of Revelation, chapter 12. This is most interesting. Revelation chapter 12. John sees this. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out. Who is he? That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused, past tense, accused them before our God day and night. Now you understand here that the devil was cast out because the Savior in his power is exalted and enthroned in that third heaven. And so Satan and his angels are no longer allowed access to the third heaven, to the very throne room of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And now, notice verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Speaking of the spirits of the justified and the elect angels dwelling in the highest heaven. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Now you think about that. The devil has come down to cause trouble on earth and also trouble in the sea. Okay? Now you understand, don't you, that in the book of Job, the Lord let the devil do certain things. And one thing that the Lord let the devil do was to cause a great storm that came and smote the house where all of Job's sons and daughters were, and the house fell on them and they all died. The Lord let the devil do that. And we sing in Watt's great hymn, I sing the mighty power of God. There's not a storm that arises without the Lord's doing. And it's true that God lets the evil one do certain things. But he's restrained. And I like that scripture in Revelation talks about him being bound with a chain 1,000 years, you know. And some of our brethren of different schools of theology said, well, if the devil's on a chain, he's on a long chain. But we know that he is under the sovereignty of Christ, who has all power in heaven and in earth, so that the accuser of the brethren has been cast out down here. He was up there accusing day and night. So these angelic beings were created. And then you notice it says in Revelation 12 that that dragon with his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. So if you have 2/3 of the angelic beings, which commentators believe that the stars are referring to the angels there, if you have 2/3 of them forming that innumerable company of angels, let's not be deceived. 1/3 of that number is still a lot of demons. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Some of these dark, demonic beings that have different titles, dominions, and, you know, Frank Peretti did some interesting writing about that. If any of you ever read any of Frank Peretti's books, they're very interesting, and it uncovers a lot of what goes on that we are oftentimes not aware. We need to daily be clad in the whole armor of God, that we stand against the wiles of the devil. Because how many times a week are you cast down and in trembling and fear and doubt, even because of your own sin? Do you ever have any doubts because of your sin? Do you ever, your conscience accuse you and somebody whisper in your conscience, you're a fraud, you're a fake, you're not real, you're not really a Christian? That's the accuser of the brethren. Or, you know, if we don't rate like the demon said to those in the book of Acts, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but, you know, may just be a little demon that sent to accuse our consciences. But we do know that that goes on in the world. And we praise God that we have victory in Christ, that they're all a defeated horde. They know that their time is short. And they said to Jesus, Lord, don't torment us before the time. We know that that time is coming. Oh, give us some space. Okay, I'm sorry. I get carried away on this. But let's turn over to one more scripture. Exodus chapter 20, where we were earlier in our Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11. Okay. What are we told here? In verse 8, let's look back there. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. And let's look at this as it is, as it stands. Any of y'all ever labored for 1,000,000 years? How about maybe 1,000,000,000 years? And then you come up to the seventh day, and I'm going to take 1,000,000,000, I'm going to rest. Okay. All right. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor strangers in thy gates. Why? Because the Lord in 50 billion years formed all this. Verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. It's very interesting that you see here the threefold division. In 6 days, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You think about 6 days. Wow. Think about creation. Think about us. Think about the intricacies. Oh, you think about the big world. And you may have seen some, I don't know how much of it you've seen, but some of us are not really interested in seeing much more of it. We like to see the little part now. But, you know, you think about what's going on right now inside of your body. All those factories at work. Yeah. It's amazing watching, you know, the new Pilgrim's Progress movie that the kids watch some, and seeing all of that intricately working machinery. And you just think about even just in our cell. Just if we isolate one cell, what's going on in one cell of her body. Wow. It's so amazing. But the Lord made the heavens. He made all this in 6 days. Wow. So it's no problem for God to make the heavens and then start working on this place. Even the first day. Not a problem for him at all. You think about the greatness of our Creator. Even as you look at the magnitude of the creation and the intricacies of what he's made. And he hadn't left it. He's upholding it. He's causing it to adhere and not to fly into bits. He is the power. Of course, you know, they like to say now, it was the force. It wasn't God. Not the God of the Bible. It was the force. Of course, old Carl Sagan had his ideas. He was always talking about the cosmos. Well, the cosmos, he's using the Greek term. He's just going back to the original paganism, because it was the Greeks who came up with all their pagan ideas. And it was that Darwin fed on. He didn't come out with new stuff. He just went back to the Greek pagans and refurbished it, put a new shine on it, laid it on the press. Well, you know, our God is so great, so wonderful. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. We belong to Him. He made us for Himself. He didn't make us for ourselves. He made us for Himself, for His glory. We are for Him. Are you for Him?